through the magic of theatre, we're going to do it. So, yes, the play in its physical sense is set almost entirely at the bottom of a sinkhole, one of the numerous sinkholes that dot the limestone coast in South Australia. And a young diver awakens at the bottom of one of these sinkholes. And essentially, the question of the play is, how did this young man, well, not the young man, how did this man end up down there? And how is he going to get out?
Well,
In
that's sounding
addition,
chilling.
yeah,
So
like,
your audience is already starting to sort of count their breaths and how much oxygen they've got left.
I listened to, well, I watched a reading just a few days ago, and with the sound as well of the regulator breathing, I found my breath catching in my throat, and I
Yes.
started breathing in time with the sound effect, and it's quite it really does take you into that underwater world. And I one of the effects that can happen to a diver when they dive at depth is called nitrogen narcosis. It's a buildup of nitrogen in the bloodstream, and it can lead to an effect sometimes known as the rapture, otherwise known as the martini effect, where the diver begins to hallucinate and memory and imagination begin to blur. So that idea was really the seed of the play, that it was a way to bring the audience into this vacuum with this diver. And through his own hallucinations and memory and glimpsing his kind of moments of his life slipping before his eyes to get a picture of who this man is and the trauma that he's carrying.
That sounds wonderful. Now you've told us how you're doing it with sound. Tell us how you're doing it visually.
Visually, we're look, I think we're going to rely a lot on obviously, we've got there's a multimedia element to it, and there's the sound and the lighting will be working in concert to evoke this world for the audience. But I am a huge believer also in the audience being an active participant in the construction of a story. And I think that
Absolutely.
a lot of so for me, I think a lot of the best theatre is actually what I would call the theatre of the imagination. So it is dropping a stone, if you will, in a pond and watching those ripples spread out. And so we're kind of actively recruiting the audience in this process of imagining all that is happening in front of them. One of the keys to that is darkness. That, you know, a lot of the play will take place in darkness. And then there will be, you know, various moments where we'll again slip into memory and dreaming that are kind of vividly formed in front of the audience's eyes as well.
So you're sort of drawing them into a new virtual reality almost, and with their own imagination helping play it through.
I mean, it's interesting you say virtual reality because I've actually done a bit of work in VR, working with Facebook and other companies with the Oculus headsets. And I think many people would think that's a very new term, but actually the term virtual reality or la réalité virtuelle was coined by a French director, Antonin Artaud, who was a bit of a madman. He was pretty iconoclastic, but his dream was essentially to burn the seats and to pull the audience into theatre and put them at the centre of the action. He used to imagine putting audiences on stage at the center of the stage and surrounding them. And he was a big fan of playing with the senses as well. So evoking smell and taste and those other ones as well. So this is absolutely, there's an element of that this is a virtual reality that has been conjured inside the audience's mind in Cathedral, but it's being done with a bunch of really clever, really quite sophisticated technology to evoke this world for them.
So it's a wonderful combination. We're looking at audience imagination, we're looking at tech, and then, of course, we can't do any of that without the script.
Yes,
So
yeah.
now that you as the playwright, tell us perhaps where you started to get the genesis of these ideas and where you're going to take us on this story.
Sure. So I this play was a commission from State Theatre Company in collaboration with Flinders University and with Country Arts South Australia. And this commission, the pitch was to develop a play that was focused on the Mount Gambier region, and it had something to do with that that city, that community. And I know a little bit about Mount Gambier already because my dad was a scuba diving instructor for many years. And the whole limestone coast, which Mount Gambier is situated within, is perforated with these sinkholes and quite vast underwater cave systems that riddle the landscape. Many of them are unmapped as well. And that to me was the key to the play and the way in. And it was a way for me to access a lot of my own memory and also details that I have picked up on over the years through Dad and via working with him. I spent about 4 months many years ago in Dubai working as a firefighting training instructor on oil rigs. And so I also, as well as being a playwright. Yeah. So I think I'm the only playwright in Australia anyway, who's also qualified in underwater helicopter escape. So it was pretty surreal. Yeah, I spent a few months over with Dad there working as an assistant instructor with him. And while over there, I was introduced to the world of offshore workers, which is a very similar ecology, I guess, to what we have with mining. However, in Northern England, rather than hitting the mines, you'll get a lot of people from Scotland and Northern England either heading out to the North Sea or heading over to the Middle East, people from all over the world, in fact. And it is a very different way of life. And one group of individuals in particular that I became very fascinated with are commercial divers. So a regular scuba diver carries a tank of air on their back, yeah, and they dive temporarily down beneath the water. A commercial diver is essentially an astronaut. They live and work at pressure, and they are sealed in a pressurized tank aboard a ship for a month at a time, and they commute back and forth from that pressurized tank to the bottom of the seabed to work using a thing called the bell. And it's an extraordinary life because you alternate between working at the bottom of the ocean in pitch darkness. Often you might hear dolphin song in this alien landscape, and then there'll be hours and hours of a time of just sitting in this tank with a group of people, getting bored out of your mind, taking lots of books to read, lots of games of Scrabble played and crosswords played. So it was an interesting dichotomy to me as well.
That is an understanding of diving that it's beyond my comprehension.
Well, one of the things that I learned, as I said, my dad was a dive instructor, and it was incredibly important to me to get the details right in this play to make sure that it was credible. So I've met with multiple cave divers and commercial divers and dive instructors just to talk about their own experiences, both wondrous and sometimes dangerous. So one guy I talked to down in Mount Gambier is a young man called Josh Richards, who was an ex-diver with the Navy, and he's currently a cave diver working down there, and he told me about a lot of episodes that had happened to him. And I was also very lucky to talk with Dr. Richard Harris, uh-huh, who is,
known to an Adelaide audience. Remind those incredibly who may not know him.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, Richard Harris, as well as being an anaesthetist and a renowned doctor, was also one of the key cave divers involved in the Thai cave rescue. And in fact, there's an incredible documentary that's been made about that called The Rescue. And there's a film that should be coming out either later this year or the beginning of next year, directed by Ron Howard. So it was a real privilege to be able to sit down with Harry as well and get his take on what diving at depth in total darkness does not only to the body but to the mind. Because I have an open water scuba diving certificate, but that does not qualify me to dive in a cave. My certification allows me to dive. I always have to have the sun over my shoulder, overhead. And
it's
I wanted
like
to get
an instrument rating if you're flying. There are different levels.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
And if you go into a sinkhole, you don't necessarily have the sun shining over you because you are down. Is that what they call the cathedral when you are right down deep in the water and you just get shafts of light? Is that it?
Well, you do get that beautiful, exquisite godlight shining down from above, and that's featured in the poster for the play. But no, the cathedral specifically is a feature of the Picanini Ponds cave system where the play is set. So there's a large kind of hollowed out, scalloped void that exists beneath the ponds, and it's essentially white and lustrous and looks, you know, like a cathedral. That's what it's been named after. So it's both a physical space within that site, and it was also just a title that I felt really captured the an almost spiritual feeling that one might have both when diving and existing in that other world and also when having a near-death experience.
The other thing which I find fascinating is you have a childhood memory of, with your sister, I think, of watching your father dive in one of those ponds and, as children do, thinking, what happens if he doesn't come back? Which is sometimes a childhood game of getting yourself ready to deal with the worst. Did you find that memory has also given you another dimension for the people who are left behind?
I think that when I wrote the play, which was in the height of 2020, and we had the US election going on, which was very tumultuous, COVID had just reared its head, and the world was just felt on a precipice, and it was a very anxious time for a lot of people. As well as all of that, my family also suffered three deaths in the family in quite rapid succession, and that was incredibly impactful. It was a really tough time, and so I wasn't even aware that I was consciously writing about these things. However, the play is steeped in a certain grief and a certain trauma from those events. And so at a very kind of figurative level, the play is essentially about a man who finds himself in darkness trying to discover a way back to the light as well. You were correct that one of the kind of inciting incidents that inspired the play was a trip that my mum and dad took to Adelaide from Melbourne. And we stopped at the ponds on the way up, which are just outside of Mount Gambier. And Dad had heard about this place. It's a real mecca for divers from all around the world. However, it's notorious. There have been several people who have drowned there and died. One of the reasons is that the water was crystal clear. It's like diving in gin. However, the bottom of the pond is... the bottom of the pond is filled with silt, and if you disturb it at all, it rises up and clouds the water until you can't see a thing. It's zero visibility, and quite a few divers have lost their lives down there. So my dad told that story to me and my 8-year-old sister and then said, "I'm going for a dive now. You two wait on the jetty." And so I have a very powerful memory.
That would be very powerful.
Yeah, just sitting there watching the bubbles, wondering...
You have pain, you have grief, and you have the search for the light through the cathedral.
Yes.
This is all happening at this with State Theatre.
That's correct.
Where is it playing?
It's playing at the Space Theatre, which is aptly named and the proper evocative space to hold it. I think it opens on May 6th.
And then, if I'm right, you're going through the regions. Is that right?
Yeah, well, I'm particularly thrilled about taking it back to Mount Gambier because many of the cave divers that informed the play and, in fact, a couple of them even read the play and offered advice on whether I'd got the depths right and certain things were credible or not. So they will all be coming to the Helpman Theatre for the opening down there, which I can't wait for. It'll be really fun.
Anything you want to say, any final words?
Something you might want to mention is that is of note is that the one of the inspirations is that the limestone coast that we have in South Australia is incredibly similar. It's basically the same geography as the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico, which is the bottom of Mexico. And that's where in the ancient Mayan culture, they had all the sinkholes there they call cenotes. And they would often treat these cenotes as, they'd call it Xibalba, which was the gateway to the underworld. And once I heard about that, I thought, well, that's pretty interesting here that we've got all these gateways to the underworld leading beneath the surface, beneath our feet here in South Australia.